There I am.
Hey, I hope you feel that way all through the morning. Welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Linda Duhier-Sue, and I am one of the co-pastors here. My fabulous co-pastor, Matthew Smith, is on a renewal leave. He will be gone for two more weeks, and we are grateful for his rest and renewal, even though we miss him. I haven't told him, but I expect great things when he returns. We're going to move into worship shortly, and before I do that, I just want to point out one thing, which is you may notice paintings in the room. And we had this one with us last week, and there are two new ones over there on the left. And our online friends, we're not able to show those to you, but we will show them to you next week after we photograph them. So these are paintings from the 60s and 70s done by an artist by the name of Arne Hirsu, who was my father-in-law. And I just want to especially say, we don't touch them. And we want to touch them because they look really cool. So may all of our older friends help our younger friends to be very curious and to look at them with our eyes. And we're not going to look with our hands. And sometimes that's hard. But it just feels important to be as close as we can to this work. And so I commend it to you as you are going to be continually surrounded as the weeks unfold. We're going to move into worship with a song, Audrey Assad. And the title is apt for all of us. I think it's Nothing to Fear. Often art makes people feel uncomfortable because they don't know what to do. It's like if someone handed you a book in another language and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? I know how to read in English, but this is not comfortable. So we're going to start and begin this morning, and I invite those of us who are willing, able, and comfortable to rise as we move in with our music team to Nothing to Fear.
And the depths of the river.
God is not a guy out there somewhere. Not a thing, but energy. The energy of love, the love that makes being be. Not a being, but being itself. I am. I be, being. God is an act of love, since that's what love is. Not a feeling, but an act. Even if it's an invisible act of regard. When you love someone, even poorly, God is. The more you love, the more God you make happen. This is the mystery of the Holy Spirit, that it is given to us to make real. The fire burns in us, even when we don't know it.
Spreading like a virus, hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing, sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find.
Turn it over, take hold.
So I can feel the wound inside my heart. Let the seeds of peace grow in hearts around us. The trees of hope give shade to humankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is
turning over tables. Between us all.
That was so amazing.
Yeah.
This is my first time ever, so. And I'm really excited. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I am happy to join you all this morning as the new Sunday morning coordinator for the table. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday morning, to grow in faith with weekly kitchen table, and to reach in love out at the table farm with weekly volunteer shifts. For those of us gathering online at the table.live, please, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have any questions. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith or to stay in touch, please text the word new to the number on the screen. If you'd like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith at the table, our co-pastor would lead a 6-week Growing in Faith series in person here at the table beginning September 13th, and registration is on our website. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online, and we always encourage you to visit our website, thetableumc.org, where you'll find a Connect pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner and can stay connected there as well. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to worship with a song by Young Ocean. Please sing along as you're comfortable with our music team as they lead us in Are We Not One?
Of time. Good morning, everyone. So we encourage those here in the sanctuary and those with us online to follow along with your own Bibles or with the screen as I share a reading from the Gospel of Luke as recorded in the New Revised Standard Version. And just before I begin, I'd like you to think back on that first beautiful song that we heard this amazing group give us and remember those words, "We have nothing to fear." So with that, here is Luke chapter 12. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret this present time?"
I want to invite our young friends who are ready to move out with Amy, who's going to escort you at the door. And our young friends are going to stay inside way down the hall. Parents, I'm also talking to you in our big A-frame, which is quite a place for adventuring, and have a story and some art. We also will be doing art during communion here. And if any of our young friends want to come back, just saying out loud, that is A-OK. All right? And there's space for all, and we kind of move in and out up here, for this is our studio as well. This is the second week of our worship series, Abstracting August, and we are holding scripture alongside abstract artists and famous paintings, as well as this art project which we are all creating together, and on our fourth week, we will see what it is we have created. I'm pretty excited about that. Very excited, actually. So, there is an abstract expressionist painter by the name of Jackson Pollock, and I just kind of want a show of hands. If you've ever heard of Jackson Pollock, can you just raise your hand so I can get a sense? Oh, good. Oh, this is good. Okay. It's okay if you haven't. Just wanted to know. Okay. Because this guy, Jackson Pollock, he upended the art world in his day. There's another very well-known in the art world abstract expressionist who was a contemporary but had been on the scene before Jackson. His name was Willem de Kooning, and this is what he wrote about Jackson Pollock. "Every so often, a painter has to destroy painting. Cézanne did it. Picasso did it with Cubism. Then Jackson Pollock did it. He busted our idea of a picture all to hell. Then there could be new paintings again." So what exactly did Jackson Pollock do? This is one of his paintings from 1943. Just to give you a sense, it's 20 feet wide and 8 feet tall. We kind of lose that up on the screen. This is another one of his paintings. It's called Jackson Blue Poles, or just Blue Poles. And it was painted in 1952. This painting is actually 15 feet and 11 inches wide and 6 feet 11 inches tall. So what did he do? Well, Jackson Pollock shattered the idea of working on an easel. He put the canvas on the floor, and he worked from all four sides. I'm wondering if the text that Bob read for you this morning might have shattered some of you as you heard it. Actually, all of the readings this month from the Gospel of Luke are pretty much in this vein, fair warning. And most commentaries agree that the text that Bob read with us this morning consists of the 8 toughest verses in Luke's Gospel. The language of division is there instead of peace. The strident tone of judgment and Jesus' accusation that those in the crowd are all hypocrites. So whether you consider the table your spiritual home or you're just here for the first time checking us out or somewhere in between, I think it doesn't matter. It's a tough text. I'm a little more worried about the people who are here for the first time, actually. give us a chance. Give Jesus a chance. Because the Jesus we meet in this reading goes against the image that many hold of a gentle, kind, and loving Christ who came so that all the world may know peace. And it's not hard to imagine that people might want to look away, given how Jesus defines his ministry here in terms of bringing fire and division and turning over tables, basically. I think it's fair to say Jesus this morning is coming in hot. There's a wonderfully wise professor, Teresa Berger, Dr. Berger of Yale Divinity School, and she writes about it like this. It's a long quote, but it's very helpful, I think. As Jesus journeys towards Jerusalem, he becomes a source of conflict and opposition when he lays claim to startling forms of authority and power. Here is someone, Luke tells us, who knows the burning bush intimately. Experiencing a burning bush and a fire within does not make one nice. On the contrary, an encounter with a burning bush invariably leads to confrontation and conflict. After Moses meets God, for example, in the burning bush, right? He is led not to peace and a resolution of problems, but into conflict with Pharaoh himself. If our world were nothing but a place of created goodness and profound beauty, a space of flourishing for all, just and life-giving for all in God's creation, then Jesus' challenge would be deeply troubling. If, on the other hand, our world is deeply marred and scarred, death-dealing for many life forms with systems of meaning that are exploitive and non-sustainable, then redemption can only come when those systems are shattered and consumed by fire. In other words, truly, life cannot re-emerge without confrontation. That confrontation is the basis of the conflict that Jesus is envisioning. He comes not to disturb a nice world, but to shatter the disturbing and death-dealing systems of meaning that stifle life, that make life easy for some, but really hard for others. Systems which concentrate, for example, wealth with a few, rather than a fair distribution for all. So I have to say, I wonder if that's really such a bad thing. It's been my experience that once a person sees something in a new way, they cannot unsee it. Thus, most followers of Jesus come to a moment, sometimes lots of moments actually over time, in which pictures of the world as they've known it are shattered. When held up against the life and teaching and death and resurrection of Jesus, because our vision then becomes his vision, and we cannot unsee that. So, why was it so earth-shattering for Jackson Pollock to remove the easel and place the canvas on the floor? Here's why. When you no longer have an easel, you no longer have a direction. There's no default direction. There's no top. There's no bottom. There's no left side. There's no right side. It's very disorienting for many people. And once the world saw this, they could not unsee it. I think it's also important to point out that Jackson Pollock and his community of artists were alive and making these shifts, having lived in the midst of and coming through to the end of World War II. And the evils that they and all of us now know of an authoritarian rule of Nazis and of Hitler. It took a really long time for the world to see itself, to see the world that Hitler was trying to paint with the colors of evil. It took even longer, having seen it, to stand up to it and break free. So I just think it's important for us to hold that the painters of this period, European painters, American painters, worldwide painters were going through that. So this is an image we're going to keep up there for a moment of Jackson Pollock and how he painted a wider image. The painting was in 1947, and it was called, is called Alchemy. Some things I want to say about it while you look at it. He put the canvas on the floor because, and this is a quote from him, he didn't want the damned rectangle in his field of vision so soon. And so you can kind of see that he doesn't really regard the edges. And on the floor, the canvas and the floor made it seem for him most expansive. And in this way, it was thought that he wanted to find his way to the rectangle instead of the rectangle defining him. I also want to point out, if you see on your right, that's still a roll of canvas there. And he was known to kick it and just keep on painting. Old Testament seminary professor, So in this way that we just saw on the screen, it makes sense to me that Jesus put the canvas that is our life and the lives of everyone around him on the floor. And he invites us into the depth of his vision for us all. Not into some neat and tidy rectangle that's set up on an easel. And given all of that freedom, many people want to look away or say, I'm not a painter. Old Testament seminary professor Michael Chan writes about the temptation of looking away like this. North American Christians often suffer from a terrible affliction. We hate conflict and we despise division. Far from interpreting these things as signs of Christ's presence, we see division and conflict as crises to be managed, contained, and extinguished. As such, American Christians have developed a well-worn arsenal of avoidance strategies, which we deploy whenever conflict and division emerge, and we call this peace. But the fire of God's judgment invites us to see ourselves as we truly are in the face of God's law. And I believe right now, we are all of us in a painful process in the midst of a very great turning in the world, in which our national eyes are slowly, and I would say often reluctantly, that's my opinion, opening to the truth that many of our siblings have been suffering under for generations. The evil of white-bodied supremacy, the disregard for reproductive health as women and those of us with a uterus are put in harm's way yet again, poor leadership from the top and all around, which threatens our social fabric, and a planet that is desperately in need of our love and care, just to name a few. Once we have seen all that, it can no longer be unseen. So please know that the vision Jesus paints in this passionate and fiery scene that Bob read for us is really not one of conflict just for the sake of conflict. It's a vision of fragmentation for the sake of wholeness. A wholeness which ignores false frames, rectangles, and boundaries, and attempts to inhabit and celebrate the whole of God's creation. And I'm guessing, but many of our minds are already spinning about that right now, just where you sit, and that is a good thing. Because that's what Jackson Pollock's work made people do. It's said of his work that it isn't so much about what you are looking at as it is what is happening to you while you are looking at it. That's why we brought paintings, real paintings, not flat screens, for us to be close to, so that we too can pay attention to what's happening to us while we are looking at something. It's also true that Jackson Pollock has had a tremendous influence on people, the most impressive of which may actually be the inspiration he gave to go off and figure out your own way, to do your own work. See, Pollock didn't paint to disturb the art world. He didn't. He painted and shattered the disturbing system, which said that the canvas had to stay in a certain location, in a certain orientation, on an easel, with a top and a bottom and a left and a right. He shattered the illusion that there had to be a certain direction. So I just want to close as we move towards this feast and this time of painting. And just relax, nobody's being forced to paint. Or have a feast, right? Here's a question for us to hold. How has God shattered the disturbing systems around you? What does that look like? I'm not asking you to intellectually explain it to me after church. Okay? I'm asking, this is what Matt hates about me, just telling you. What's going on inside? What happens to you inside your body and soul? How is God working in you so that you too want to get rid of the easel which binds you and place the canvas of your life on the floor so that you are free, free and emboldened to live into God's fiery future? What is your work to do?
I'm feeling like I misspoke. Matt doesn't hate that about me, but it makes him very uncomfortable. That's a fairer statement of my friend. Jesus invited all of those around him to do their work, to do their work with God, themselves, and their neighbors. And he did this with an invitation to see the world through God's eyes. And sadly, so often they, and so do we, miss that invitation, very often. And so we pause each week in worship for what the church calls a prayer of confession, and we do this not in private, but out loud, in public together. And so I invite you at home and those of us here who are able and comfortable to rise as we move into this prayer of confession with one voice. Let's pray. God of fire and division, often we are tempted to look away and ignore the injustice that we witness. Forgive us, we pray. Give us courage to see you in the fire as we allow the shadows of our fear to be cleared, so that we might daily choose your law of love. Hear our prayer. Friends, God is with us in the midst of conflict and in the midst of the fiery fire, yet we are not consumed. We are forgiven and hopefully maybe even inspired. So thanks be to God. Let's say amen. And let's join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church for the ages throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ with every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, body of Christ, of your beloved Son. The
continue to move in worship with a prayer that has been passed to us through the ages, and the church has named it the Lord's Prayer. And we invite you to dress God in the way that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit on all of us gathered in so many different places, God. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts that are before us, and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make all of us here and wherever we are through these gifts, Christ's body, alive and loving in the world. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when I say all, I mean all. It's unconditional. The way we share this feast is by moving in a directed fashion. Sarneet will come down the center aisle when it is your turn, and we move out of doors. There are friends out of doors to help share this feast with you. And then you come back around that side and come in through the back door back into the sanctuary. There are places around the sanctuary if you would like to kneel and be in prayer. There are candles to be lit. You are welcome to simply stay in your pew. Once people have shared that meal, or if that is not your choice to do so, you are invited to come forward, and our artist in residence, Eric Castellanos, will be up here with us. We have new canvases this week. We will have them again next week. Both with the painting and with this feast, there's nothing you can do, nothing, to make a mistake. Nothing. Especially those people who come and it's the first mark on the canvas. Hoo-hoo-hoo. That's daunting for some of us, me included. But we are in this together, God's divine dance of feast and love. So watch those around you. Listen to the nudges that are going on within your body, and move as you feel comfortable. Oops. This is the body of Christ, and this is the bread of life, and it is broken for all of us. And in this cup, we understand is the love of Christ, and it is poured out for me and for you and for God's whole world. Let's say thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. Wherever you are, please do not rush. I if you are still praying at the candles, if you are painting on the canvas that has no top, bottom, or side, not really. Stay there as long as you want. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, the divine dance through which you reveal yourself to all of creation in this bread and cup, in the canvases that are our many lives. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table and the canvas, we also respond to God's love by giving generously of our financial resources. Many of us have made deep commitments here at the table. We renew those every fall, but it is never too late to find those deep commitments online and make yours today. Many of us also are here for the very first time, so if you are moved to give and to share generously, please go to our website as well. You can text also the number. It's going to be on the screen there, and there's really this old-fashioned thing. They're called checks, and actually people still use them. I don't very much anymore, but my mother does. So, and I've been instructed not to forget to include that. There you go, Mama. Your generosity helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply and passionately with God's fierce love, which is always already loose in God's world. So thank you. We're going to move out this day, and I invite you to rise as you are able, and our music team will send us out with a song by Kristen DeMarco, Fear Not. You hear the theme there, Fear Not.
Could say it any louder I would.
one another what it is that God is showing you. And remember, we just sang it, to keep our eyes fixed on the love of God and go forth in that same love to paint the world. Paint the world with love, with justice, with peace, with excitingness, everything. You are called. Go forth. Amen.